Okay, Parshas Vayera begins with the understanding that Avraham Avinu finds himself sitting Pesach HaOel Kechom Hayom, sitting in front of the tent. And Rashi explains that Avraham Avinu wanted to stand up, but Hashem had told him that, no, you have to sit down. And as a reward for his situation, Rashi tells us that Avraham Avinu was told that he was going to be like a Beis Din, and in the future, members of a Beis Din, the members of a Jewish court, will sit when they provide judgment. So, Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter asked the obvious, where is there a connection between a court case and what Avraham Avinu was doing, sitting and taking care of the Malachim? Why is there an issue concerning Beis Din mentioned at all? He answered, citing Rav Soloveitchik, who explained that the Malachim were heading to destroy Sodom. And the fact of the matter is, they needed a pretext, a din, a psak halacha, that indeed they were supposed to go destroy Sodom, and Avraham Avinu was mechayiv, the Rishayim of Sodom. Why is that? Because often people will argue that, listen, they were living in Sodom, they had no choice, they had to act the way that Sodomites act, and if anybody else would live near Sodom, they'd also choose to act the way Sodomites would act. So Soloveitchik explains that Avraham Avinu, by being a nice, comfortable individual, by being somebody who was Me'ura Bedasa Mabrio, somebody who people got along with, as Rav Shachter used to say to us, he was a sweetie pie. So in such a situation, he was Mechayiv, the Rishayim of Sodom. He was nice when they were not. They therefore did not have the ability to blame their circumstances. Shafti used to tell us that there are many times in life that people claim that life circumstances is preventing them from doing the right thing. Those that do it are machayiv, those that fail for their failings. It's very easy to say, ich kenisht, it's not my fault, blame the environment. And the job of a good solid Jew is not to do so. Anyway, the Malachim come and each one brings a message to Avraham Avinu. And one of the messages, in a very difficult passage, one of the messages was that Sarah Imenu was going to have a baby within a year. Sarah Shomas, and Sarah heard about it, Sarah Imenu laughed internally. In fact, the Torah goes on to tell us, again, thereafter, she had a whole debate with Avraham Avinu as to whether she did laugh. She tried to deny it, and on the simple understanding of the psukim, the Chaver Knesset Rav Chanan Porat asks the question, why is it so important to focus on Sarah Imenu's laughter? And why are we embarrassing her by sending so much time on this issue in the Chumash forevermore? So the Chaver Knesset Porat suggests that Sarah Imenu's laughter was so hidden inside her that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chofes Kochad Rivatan, who checks out the depths of even the unconscious motivations, was able to see it. And says Rav Chanan, even Sarah Imenu possibly didn't realize Ki Yireya, because she was a Yiras Shamayim, she was one who had a fear of heaven within her, so she perhaps didn't realize that she had this sense of cynicism, of skepticism about God's declaration. Well, if that's the case, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu call her out on the momentary unconscious laughter? What's the big deal? Rav Porat suggests that even an unconscious destructive mockery can make a person decide that he or she will not try. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to castigate Sarah Imenu. He wanted her to fix this midah. And he wanted her to realize tzchok in this situation is the tzchok of cynicism. And it can be destructive. And believe you me, she does turn it around. She turns the tzchok into a positive force of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and into her raison d'etre, to the point where Sarah Imenu goes ahead and names her child Yitzchak, Kol HaShomeya Yitzchakli, let them come along and laugh with me because of my opportunity for Emuna. Sometimes when we have a midah, what we need to do is grab it, not destroy it, grab it and bend it over to our side and use it in a positive manner. So Avraham Avinu, the next day, finds himself in debate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the issue back and forth about destroying Sodom. And in each and every time Avraham Avinu opens his mouth, he debates with God and he tries to gamble on the number of tzaddikim that have to be found. So at one point he turns and he says, Al Yichar, Abcha Vadabera, please don't be angry with me. And the question has to be raised, why would Avraham Avinu think that Hashem was going to be angry with him? Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu love the tefilos of tzaddikim? Isn't it true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mesava le tefilos shel tzaddikim? So why would he assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be upset? So Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Shlita, the great Gadol B'Yisrael in Bnei Brak, explains in the name of the Vilna Gaon that one must be very careful to limit his words in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, in front of Hashem, even one's tefilos must be focused and direct. Anyway, the Malachim Kodesh Stone, and the Pasuk points out that Lot goes ahead and he makes a party for them, Umatzos Afa Vayochelu, and he baked matzos and they ate the matzos. So Rashi explains that they ate the matzos because it was Pesach. But the question comes up, how could they eat matzahs? The whole reason we eat matzahs didn't apply yet. The whole reason we eat matzahs, as we notice at the Seder, is ki garshu mi Mitzrayim v'lo yachlu lehis mamea. They were kicked out of Egypt and they didn't have time to wait. So the Beis Halevi in Parshas Bo explains that contrary to man's understanding that the mitzvos affect a reminder of events that took place, actually, the opposite is true. The events actually give rise to the mitzvos that preceded them. Rav Gifter Zatzal explained that the events happened because of the mitzvos. The reason why the Jews left Mitzrayim so fast is because of the mitzvah of matzah. For this reason, we don't make the bracha of Shasa Nisim Labuzenu on the Seder, because it's a biblical obligation. Biblical mitzvos, the mitzvah was there long before the story that backs up the mitzvah in the process. So the fact of the matter is, first we had the mitzvos, first histakel b'oraisa, and then thereafter, uvara alma. Okay, so Yitzchak Avinu is born in the parsha, and when Yitzchak is born, Vayigdal Hayeled Vayigamal, Yitzchak Avinu grew up and he was weaned. And Rashi cites the Medrash with notes that when Avraham Avinu made the party, so he invited the Gedolei Ador Avraham he invites the Gedolei Ador Avimelech and Aver to join him. This question has to be asked: how old was he when this party was held? And there is a debate among the Rishonim and the Midrashim as to when the party was held. Rashi says that it was at 24 months. The Medrash says that it was Bar Mitzvah, and Daskenim Bali Atosas point out that it was at the Bris. It was at his Bris. So Rav Mordechai Eliyahu explains that the Simcha at each of these stages caused Avraham Avinu to make a party. He notes that according to the Bali Atosas, the Simcha was the Simcha of Mitzvah. In other words, he performed the Bris. According to Rashi, it was at the end of the 24 months. And if it was at the end of the 24 months, then what mitzvah was being celebrated? So Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal explains that when Sarah had the baby Yitzchak, it was only she who was capable of nursing all the other children in the world, including her own. In celebration of that nes, and in appreciation of the completion of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Sarah Imenu to get rid of the rumors, Avraham Avinu had a party to thank Hashem. The third opinion that says that this happened at the Bar Mitzvah, right, the Medrash, says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu also fits as well. Says Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, the completion of stages of growth are achieved not when a person is done with nursing or milah, but when one is done with the anticipatory chinuch process, and the punishments are no longer the father's responsibility, and so therefore, the party at the Bar Mitzvah took place in celebration of the completion of the works of Avraham Avinu. After that point, Sarah Imenu finds Yishmael taunting and challenging Yitzchak. So she kicks him out together with his mother, and his mother has to go ahead and take care of him. And unfortunately, the water runs out, and she casts him off, Tachas Achas Asichem. She casts him off because she's afraid, she doesn't want to see the child. And then the Pasuk says, Vateshev Lam Mineged, she went and sat down opposite him. It's mind-boggling. The movements of Hagar are most interesting as they are intriguing. Did she really want to leave him to die under a tree? How could she? After all, she is a mother. And then why did she cast the child off? She's going to just sit by and watch him. So the great Rabbi Benjamin Eisenberger Shalita explains that the practices of Hagar were a lesson in tefillah. The words can be reinterpreted. She cast the child. What does that mean? that she cast via Shalich, via Shalichas Hayelad. He says that's reminiscent of a comment of the Chozer of Lublin, who explains that when we're in peril, we need to cast our lot on Hashem, Ashleich al Hashem Yavcha. And thus she put him tachas achas asichim, in the context of one of the sichin, one of the conversations, siach, that we have with Hashem. But in order to effectively daven, she needed that distance. In order to attain some degree of kavanah in the mission that she had, she needed to have some distance without going in to check on him constantly in the middle. By the way, says Rabbi Yamin, the same can be said of our power of prayer. We too need to remove impediments to our connecting to Hashem and tefillah when we daven. We need to take those things that are right in front of us that cause us lapses in our kavana and raise them away, create some distance, so that we can turn around and daven, often for the very things that those instances bring in. The cell phone, the iPhone, the internet connection, the smartphone. If we turn those things off, we'll be able to go ahead and daven so that the things that we're checking into will be able to have a tefillah answered for them. Avraham Avinu then has his challenge with the Plishtim. The Chaim Angel notes that the characterization of the Plishtim is a very strong contrast to that of Yishmael. That although Yishmael is very warlike, Yishmael, in the end of next week's Seder, will actually make some sort of peace with Yitzchak. While the Plishtim continue the line throughout history of always being on the brink of war and always plundering the Jewish nation at every turn. It's such a fascinating concept to consider and something that we need to put in mind. Akedas Yitzchak is such a fundamental story that there's so many different twists and turns, and I encourage each and every one of our listeners to turn around and take the time out to think about Akedas Yitzchak. Each step, each verb, each context, and to also realize that this is one of the fundamental components of our schusim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, the Haftorah, the Navi turns around, and in the context, Isha Shunam is declares to her husband, she says she knows that the Isha Elokim is a Kadosh Hu. And Rashi explains that she saw that there was never a fly on his table, and that's how she knew that he was a Kadosh. Why is not having a fly on the table a sign of being an Ish Kadosh? The late great Rav Nosson Gestetner, the author of the Lahoros Nosson, explains that the Yetzer Hara is always like a fly. It always interferes with a person and his life. To the tzaddik, flies don't interfere with his ability to remain focused on his mission of following Hashem's plan for him in life. To the tzaddik, there is no fly that interferes. Nothing gets in the way of his tzedkus. Shabbat shalom to us all.